Yesterday in New York, dancers, marching bands, and revelers dressed as pink bunnies and paraded through Chinatown. They were celebrating the Year of the Rabbit. Now, it wasn't all that long ago you'd hear a variety of Chinese dialects at such events in Chinatowns across the U.S. Increasingly, though, Mandarin is displacing those dialects. That may be inevitable, given that immigrants are arriving from so many different regions of China. But the trend toward one language doesn't sit well with some residents of Chinatown. Nina Porzuki introduces us to one woman who's on a mission to save her dialect, Cantonese.
Every Thursday night, you can find Kim Mui at a noisy cafe in the heart of Manhattan's Chinatown.
So everybody, this is a conversational class. Some of you need to speak Guangdonghua, or Choisanghua.
Mui teaches Cantonese lessons to adults, and she's animated, jumping out of her seat as her students strain to hear her over all the sounds in the cafe. Mui doesn't make any money teaching Cantonese. Her students pay no tuition, just donations. There are no fancy flashcards, just a book she's put together over nearly a decade of teaching.
I learned that my ancestors, who are Cantonese, they came to America during the Gold Rush, and they came to build the United States Transcontinental Railroad, and I know they struggled a lot. They helped to build this country, and a lot of people don't know about it. So I want to pay tribute to my ancestors by teaching other people Cantonese, because I know a lot of people want to learn it. That's why I'm doing it.
A decade ago, the majority of Chinese Americans were of Cantonese origin, and Cantonese was the Chinese dialect spoken in Chinatown. Not so anymore. New immigrants from different regions of China have brought different dialects like Fuzhou and Hakka. Chinese shares a common writing system, but when spoken, each dialect is mutually unintelligible. And this is way more than just tomato-tomato, says Julie Tay, director of the Asian Cultural Exchange, a learning center in New York's Chinatown.
So you have no structural differences in the expression, I love you, for example. In Mandarin, it's 我爱你. And in Cantonese, it's 我爱你.
But it looks exactly the same.
Of course, in written form, it would be the same.
So no matter which Chinese dialect any two people speak, they can share the same newspaper, they can
read the same article and laugh, you know, about the same things, but they may not be able to speak to one another.
Tay says that more and more speakers of Cantonese and other dialects are turning towards the northern dialect of Mandarin. Mandarin is the default, the broker dialect between dialects. The growing influence of Mandarin in New York mirrors, to a certain extent, what's happening more forcefully in China. Every city, every town even in China, speaks some dialect variety.
Now so many people are moving around that they must turn to Mandarin.
This is lexicographer David Prager Branner. He says the Chinese government is stepping up its enforcement of Mandarin as the lingua franca of the country. Children speak Mandarin in school, Mandarin is used for government business and commerce. And as Mandarin becomes ever more necessary to communicate,
there are a lot of people who simply don't know the language of their grandparents. Now, in America, that's not unusual. If your parents come from, you seem to have a Polish surname, right? Do you know any Polish?
One word.
All right. It doesn't bother us so much. China is a huge country. You know, it's got one government, okay, but culturally it's like Europe. It's all these different local societies that could easily be different countries. And local language is a big part of what makes you feel that you are who you are.
This was especially apparent this summer in the Cantonese-speaking province of Guangdong. A politician proposed that regional TV news be broadcast in Mandarin instead of Cantonese. His comments sparked demonstrations. Protesters held up signs that read, "If you can't understand what we're saying, then go back to where you came from." Julie Tay says Beijing was quick to recant the politician's proposal.
Whoever this official was saying that, oh, of course, you know, we didn't mean to eliminate Cantonese. Cantonese culture will continue to be strong and to flourish and everything, you know, those typical party lines. But the guy was saying it all in Mandarin.
In New York City, no one is enforcing Mandarin over Cantonese. And, says Tay, while Mandarin is increasingly used for the mundane, day-to-day interactions between neighbors,
most people see Mandarin as being really pale and humorless. You know, and it's not a language you can make love, you know, fight with, you know? Whereas Cantonese is something else.
Of course, she would think that. Cantonese is her native tongue. And it's still the native tongue for more than 70 million people in China and around the world.
We're gonna go around.
Back at the Chinatown Cafe, Cantonese teacher Kim Mui shrugs off the notion that her first language could be replaced by Mandarin. It won't if she has anything to do with it. But as Mandarin continues to gain influence, it will take many people, as dedicated as she is, to ensure that their kids can speak more than one word in Cantonese. For the world, I'm Nina Porzuki.
You can find stories galore and interviews on languages and trends in our weekly podcast, The World in Words. It's at theworld.org/language.